All right, group, we're going to do a phone call with a question guy wrote into me. And I said, hey, let's do a phone call. Let's get ready to learn. So I'm going to give him a call right now, and we're going to answer his questions regarding PC, getting consent when you have PC, and calling for a dog, how long we can hold a dog for. So let's give him a shout. I will add the case law. I already know what stuff I'm going to answer it. Hey, you there, brother?
Yeah, what's up, man?
All right. Not much. I'm going to answer your question. So fire away. We're going to use this as a training tool that helps everybody else out in the group. So go ahead.
Perfect. I really appreciate it. Listen, my question is regarding requesting canine on a motor vehicle stop in which you already established PC, say from the odor of marijuana, and requesting consent for words was denied. So say, for instance, you stop a car. It smells like marijuana. You get the driver off the car and, you request consent to search the car because you want to search the car in its entirety, including the trunk and under the hood. You don't want to violate his rights, so you're requesting his consent. He denies. You already have probable cause to search the car, though, but still, in order to search the whole car, you say, you know, I'm requesting canine. So canine's en route. So my question is really as far as the timeline as to when do you begin your search? Do you do a preliminary search of the interior passenger compartment area while canine is en route, or do you wait for canine to arrive, alert on the vehicle, and then search in its entirety? And my main concern was my understanding that there's some ruling, which I'd love some clarification on, in regards to delaying a stop more than it has to be and becoming an unlawful detention while waiting for canine. And although in this case you do have PC. So the question is really, when would you recommend starting the search?
Okay.
Once you already called canine.
Cool. So if you have it, here's my advice. Canine's en route. You have PC. You're asking for consent, just like you said, because you want to make sure that you extend it properly into the trunk or under the hood of the car. Because if you guys have seen in the group, we have some pictures up where people are finding things under the hood of cars, and that's where you'd want to look too. My advice is I would start to search what you got, and then, because dude, let's face it. Let's say the car does smell like marijuana at this junction in law enforcement, and you can search the car. Now you go into the car, you find maybe you find out that the raw odor of marijuana wasn't just in the car. Now it's coming from the trunk. That'll let you go further into the trunk. Or maybe you go into the car, you find 700 plastic baggies, two scales. And now you believe there's a larger amount of marijuana and it could be in the trunk. Or you go in and now you find a handgun, you know, which will extend you out to the trunk. You know, and again, maybe you find enough where you're going to seize the car, but certainly start your search and, you know, I would wait for the dog to get there before you could comfortably go into the rest of your search of the car. Now, don't let these canine guys give you that tricky answer like, well, you're going to get residual odors, a residual hit. Is it a positive indication for the presence of narcotics or is it not? Now, regarding the amount of time you can hold somebody when you have reasonable suspicion or PC for a dog, I mean, PC, you're going to be able to hold them because you can arrest them on that. They can be arrested strictly on the odor of marijuana. So somebody gives you a hard time, their car smells like weed, we can arrest them on their 2C, under 39, 4-49.1, where it's considered a serious offense under Title 39, State versus Pierce, and our judicial ruling that you can make an arrest just on that odor alone. If you also read into, God, it's off the top of my head, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. I know the case law all the time, but I'm drawing a blank. But again, you have PC to search, you have PC to arrest. That's basically the rule. And then we have a U.S. Supreme Court case, U.S. versus Sharp. And they talk about the reasonable length of an investigation. And a lot of people tend to believe this myth that there's a 20-minute time rule on it. And it's total bullshit. Yeah. So if your supervisors are telling you this, maybe you want to try to educate them. Again, I'm going to go lightly on administrations. I just want administrations to get educated on where this stuff comes from and makes better decisions for their guys in the field. So I'm not going to pick on administrations because a few guys have said, oh, you really pick on us. Okay, I'm just trying to get everybody on the same page. Here's the actual verbiage from that, and it applies here in New Jersey as well. The court will look at whether or not the police diligently pursued their investigation and whether the detention lasts no longer than is necessary to effectuate the purpose of the stop. In Sharp, the court refused to adopt a time limit because they realized that every situation for a cop's going to be a little different. If you've got somebody pulled over and you think they're moving large amounts of narcotics or something doesn't make sense, they're going to let you stay and wait for a dog and hold on to get that indication. Also see State versus Colapinto, 1998, regarding the detention of 25 minutes while waiting for a DWI officer. So you can read Colapinto. I'll put that stuff in this video. I'll add all the verbiage from that into the video. But I mean, I'll tell you right now, I've waited 1.5 to 2 hours for a dog at times. And I've told people, hey, the dog is coming. Maybe at a certain point, you can identify the guy, get consent to search his person. But remember, you always have to advise the right to refuse. A Terry frisk is different than a search. And we tell people, like, hey, your car is staying here, but you can leave. You know, so we're talking about detaining a body versus detaining a vehicle. So that's not, if like you're calling a dog, it's 3 a.m. and the guy's a state trooper and he's coming from Atlanta County, which happened to me. I had two guys on a stop and I'm like, guys, you can wait around for the dog to get here, or you feel, you know, we've identified you. We've pulled your criminal history. We know exactly who you are. We're 100% sure we have who we're talking to. Hey, you guys feel free to leave. You don't have to stay here and wait for the dog. You know, so you don't got to feel like you could detain people. It just depends what the circumstances are. I mean, these guys were from South River. I was in Woodbridge. So it wasn't that big of a deal. We go back and find them later on. It ended up being a really big drug case.
Nice.
So if I had a supervisor, I would have said, like, well, the dog's 2 hours out. You're never going to get him here. I mean, dude, at that time when Woodbridge did not have a canine unit, we had to call the county. And that county officer lived in Milltown. So minimum 45 minutes to an hour to get him there on any time I called the dog. Because I worked 5 at night to 3 a.m. and he worked a Middlesex County sheriff schedule of 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever the sheriff's department runs. They're really not a midnight, overnight type of agency. As a matter of fact, I believe they shut down on the weekend. So that was never an issue. If you run into it, maybe you want to retain the car for the dog to come, but release the people. You can always issue a warrant later on. You can always issue a summons later on, and you can always just tow the car back for safekeeping and have them return to get the car.
Okay.
Good advice there. I think it's as sound as it gets. Do you have any other questions, man?
Yeah. Just to reiterate, one thing that I appreciate that you just mentioned is when I'm starting that, you know, preliminary search off my PC, if I run into anything that causes me to believe that there is a larger quantity of, let's say, marijuana in the trunk area, well, now I have PC to go into that trunk anyway, even though the canine didn't arrive yet, correct?
Yeah, man. You could, like, that can start to travel into, like, you could, that's why I say initiate it. You may find things that'll lead you to believe that the product of your PC findings could possibly be located in the trunk. It could start in the interior compartment. It could carry on further and further into the car. You know, it just depends what the circumstances are. It's hard to answer a general question, but I do this video so guys get an idea of where they can go with this stuff. Like, how, you know, so when you're out there, you get a good feel for it. And, you know, dude, just to be clear, my advice and the things that I'm giving you, yet we have not had somebody, as a matter of fact, most people who have watched these videos or come to the courses have taken this advice, used it, and it saved cases that they would have done differently. So we're not losing cases on the stuff we're talking about. The stuff that I haven't gotten anybody calling me back, I'm like, hey, you know how you said to do that? That didn't work. That didn't fly. As a matter of fact, we usually get the calls are like, bro, I'm glad I listened to your advice. We did this. We did this. I got consent. We found the gun in the hand, in the trunk. You know, where I get guys who are like, man, I saw your video the other day. We had a gun in the trunk. It's going to get suppressed because I didn't ask for consent when I should have. So feel comfortable in the stuff that I'm telling you. It's all, you know, if anybody has any discrepancies, dude, like we're it's a legitimate program that we're teaching here. So that's the best answer I got for you. Anything else?
Nah, man, I really appreciate your response, and I'm hoping that my administration allows me to attend one of your courses real soon.
Yeah, man, listen, I'd love to have you. Dude, great. Thank you for allowing me to go live with this and record this so other guys can learn from it, and I appreciate being part of the group. And if there's anything I can do for you, you can just reach out. And you're a prime example. You just reached out. You reached out a lot, but today you reached out. We went, and I'm always answering questions, and if you need anything, like I said, I'm always here for you.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
All right, dude, I'll see you later.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys, that's today's video. So I'll see you later. Need anything, reach out and I can answer your questions.